BlakeRadio.com.
It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling.
Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore.
OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
It's not my fault I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not going to lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my nipples are now jumping for shizzle!
What?
It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the folks at the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are sponsored by Click Wrestle, which is the official on-demand site of Online World of Wrestling, and we also have some brand new friends joining us through, I believe they're called UltimateSportsTalk.com. That's streaming our show this evening, and we'll be doing that for all Wild Talk Radio programming. And since my forum has abandoned me, I have made new friends. They're a brand new forum to us. They are known as WRWWrestling.net.
My God! My God! Why hast thou forsaken me?
I have no idea.
No?
No, not really. Good try, though.
Sorry.
Yeah, so WRWWrestling.net is going to be streaming us actually on Friday night. We had some interesting stuff happen, such as our 10 o'clock guest, which is supposed to have been Rob Feinstein, formerly of Ring of Honor, earlier today had to drop out due to some business dealings with, I believe, RF Video. So no Rob Feinstein tonight.
That's good.
Well, we will be speaking with Allison Danger, the Shimmer Goddess, and also the woman who's going to be facing Cindy Rogers this Saturday at the WSU's Uncensored Rumble 4, which we'll talk about during the evening. She'll be around 10 or 10:30, depending on what time she can be with us. And unfortunately, once again, Jessica Havoc was supposed to be with us at 9 o'clock. However, due to a 137-kilogram bull mastiff that was brought into where she works, in her real life, she works for a veterinary office and is a veterinary nurse. So, unfortunately, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, she's the only nurse on staff. So, final score, dog gets Jessica 1. We don't nothing. So, we're going to be light for a little while. The reason the music opened the way it did tonight is because, as a fan of Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band growing up, on the 18th of June, the person who's simply known as the big man, Clarence Clemens, passed away at the age of 69 due to complications from a stroke. So music tonight is going to be Bruce Springsteen related. I know we did Bruce a while back, but I figured
I heard a tribute. I heard a great joke about Clarence Clemens on some radio.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. So they were talking about it, I believe, yesterday. They're talking about Clarence Clemens passing, and the radio DJ on the local afternoon show goes, you know, there's a lot of black saxophone players and Bruce Springsteen tribute bands who are really excited right now about a job opening.
Ouch.
I was like, I didn't think of it that way before, but now that you mention it, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, he was it's one of those personalities.
Salad doesn't think so, Mr. Monotone.
No, it was funny.
I'm trying
to type, and someone's... Yeah, I know other shows had Jay Lethal yesterday, but he only talked Ring of Honor with them, Jersey Girl, next Tuesday night. Well, good Lord willing, the way our luck's been going, he's supposed to talk everything with us. So, yeah, you could have listened to him on other shows last night, ramble on about ROH for a half hour, but he'll be with us.
I can't wait till he comes on with us. I can't wait.
It'll be interesting.
I honestly came up with a decent question for Feinstein that I think addressed my concerns about the whole deal with him.
Oh, the extracurricular activities that ruined his career with Ring of Honor.
Yeah, and I honestly
career everywhere.
Yeah, well, I honestly think that I came up with a really good question that kind of sum up my concerns. And it was this, and I'll drop it on you because I think you can, you know, appreciate it.
Sure.
As an independent wrestler and as a parent, why would I either bring my child to one of your shows or myself come work for you when you have been accused of what you've been accused of?
Yeah, and he ran into that big time after ROH. I believe he was involved with Pro Wrestling Syndicate, might be the name of the show. It was an offshoot, I think, of WSU called Pro Wrestling Unglued or Uncensored. He was involved with a bunch of different type promotions, but when the licensing people found out, oh, Rob Feinstein's involved, you can't have that. And my 2-year-old is walking over for some reason. Do you want to say hi?
Yeah.
Say hi.
Hi.
Abby.
Yeah, hold up. Abby's trying. My show is being hijacked by my 2-year-old daughter.
Abby, go.
Hold on. I'm going to put the headphones to her. Hold on. Can you hear Spud? Say woo.
Woo.
Yeah, she's supposed to be watching Romeo and Juliet right now.
Woo!
There she goes again. Once again, the great endeavors of live radio. Yes, that would be my daughter.
That's the boss.
Yeah, that's if you've seen my Facebook page, that's the executive producer of Online World of Wrestling Radio cutting in there.
That's the boss.
Yeah.
Now,
if
you heard a voice in the background, my wife sauntered in here because our dog Winston, and Winston is infamous on this network.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
It's a she. Winston.
Oh, it's a girl. I'm sorry.
Yes. Winston likes to get outside and run around. And because she's part beagle, and her nose gets her into trouble. And our front door was cracked open, and my wife came in. She's like, where's the dog? And she looked down. She's like, oh, my dog has been laying at my feet for like the past hour and a half, and probably had no idea that the door was standing wide open.
Wow. Yeah, you mentioned you had a funny Clarence Clemens joke.
That was the joke about the...
Gotcha. Did you ever hear how he met Springsteen?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, this is actually from a Wikipedia page, that the story of how Clemens first met Bruce Springsteen and entered into the E Street Band as folklore. In certain concerts, when he introduces the E Street Shuffle with a monologue... the event was actually immortalized in a song, we'll play it later, which is the 10th Avenue Freeze Out. They allegedly met for the first time in 1971. Clarence was a part of a band called Norman Selden and the Joyful Noise. He was a Jersey Shore type band back when bands played clubs before they went huge.
Right.
And... they had actually known each other through musical acquaintances. Well, next thing you know, Springsteen happens to be one of his bands happens to be a part of a battle of the bands. And next thing you know, you doing anything? No, you doing anything? Next thing you know, he's a part of the E Street Band and stayed with them and he was a part of their original debut album, the original Greetings from Asbury Park, New Jersey. And he had been around since then, and that opening song was from a duet he did with
Jackson Brown.
Another person who's infamous for smacking people around.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
What's your favorite Clarence Clemens solo?
Solo?
From a Springsteen song.
Born to Run is one of the best ones I've ever heard.
Yeah, see, I was going to go there too.
Yeah, Born to Run. I'm fortunate enough, I've seen the E Street Band a couple times. They came to the St. Pete Times Forum a couple years ago, and they played literally, everybody always like, you know, I saw so-and-so, and I saw Britney Spears, and she was great, or I saw Timberlake, and he was great. I was like, okay, I saw Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band play for 3.5 hours. You know how many times Bruce left the stage? None.
The
dude gets on there and plays.
I never got to see them, and that's one of the older bands that I would really have liked to have seen. Because, I mean, Bruce Springsteen, he's got so many great, great songs and hits, you know?
Oh, yeah, we'll play some of them tonight.
But, like, they did a show at the Shoe in Columbus. I believe it was the year Ohio State won the national title back in 03, the calendar year of 03.
Okay.
They played a show later that year in the summertime at the Shoe, and they did Hang on Sloopy.
Oh, wow.
Which is, you know, like, infamous with Ohio State, but they played Hang on Sloopy. And it's one of those bands, like, I've always kind of wanted to see Springsteen and the E Street Band, just because watching some of their stuff on TV, like VH1 does those classic concerts and stuff.
Yeah, they did a whole 24-hour tribute to Clarence, which is pretty cool.
Like, it's kind of amazing to watch them play live, because bands don't play like that anymore.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I've got a 10-song set list. We're going to play this, 2 encores, and we're out. And Bruce Springsteen and that band gets on stage and like, we'll play till we feel like stopping.
Yeah, I've had friends that I grew up with that saw Springsteen at the old Giants Stadium that he literally played for 4 hours. And this is when he had just released Born in the USA, and this is 1985. Look at his set list now, and it's me. You're back again? Yes, can you say hi?
Hi.
Can you say I love you?
No, don't take it.
Yes, but I'm not stalling. It's just she's up past her bedtime. And
meh.
Yeah,
it's
you're
all
busted,
good.
Man. Go get mommy. No,
it's
go
all
get
good.
Mommy.
Mine just went to bed.
Yeah, mine's having an interesting evening.
So, to get on wrestling.
Sure, we can go there.
Capital Punishment was Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And we were talking on WTR Sunday night. I brought up the divide amongst fans for and against John Cena. And I get this tweet on Monday from Rock, our intrepid producer here at the Wild Talk Radio Network. It says,
God of Internet Radio.
Isn't it funny how at Tap Out 2KO mentioned something on WTR last night about the divide amongst John Cena fans, and today John Cena posts a message. Now, I didn't see John Cena's Twitter message. I didn't see what he said.
Rock may be able to find it for us. I had it, and I lost it during the shuffle. Let me see if I copied it to my notes here.
But
I have a whole bunch of stuff involving WWE today.
I'm just like, really? He said something?
Oh, here we go. I got his twit thing there.
Here.
Yeah, and that's actually John Cena,
loading.
Not Juan Cena.
Yeah, no, it's John Cena. I follow him.
Yeah, I got it. It's the one dated the 20th. C Nation, the divide between those who stand with us and those who stand against us is becoming more aggressive. I love it. I think it makes for an unreal WWE experience. I've never told anyone how they need to feel about me, nor badgered them for their admiration. But I am truly fortunate and thankful for all those who remain loyal through good times and bad, dark and light. I will never give up on you. He has 657,000 followers. That's
amazing. He's got lots of followers. But you know what? He makes a good point, and we said it on Sunday. Like, I don't understand the hate. I don't. Because most of it is just people who hate to hate. They don't do it, you know, because they have legitimate gripes or reasoning. They just do it because. And it really annoys me. And I'm kind of glad that he said what he said.
Yeah, but it'll let you know who's listening to us. So, hi, folk. Hi, the people in Stanford.
I don't necessarily know if they're really listening to us.
It's an intern sitting somewhere going, what did they say? Quit, Cena, type.
You know, well, you want to talk about people talking and typing.
Sure.
CM Punk.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to him in a minute or two.
Last night? Oh, buddy.
Well, let's go. You mentioned the pay-per-view, so for fans that weren't with us Sunday.
Do we have to run it down again?
I'm going to run it, but I'm going to run it real fast. You have two brand new champions crowned last on Sunday night. As you saw Monday Night Raw, Dolph Ziggler defeated Kofi Kingston thanks to a sleeper and help from Vicky Guerrero. Alex Riley defeated The Miz after Michael Cole's assisting didn't exactly go the way he wanted to. Burrell Del Rio defeated The Big Show by a referee stopping it because somebody actually worked a knee and worked it really well. Oh, yeah, thanks Mark Henry for helping out a lot. You have a brand new Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion, and that would be Ezekiel Jackson after he defeated Wade Barrett via the Human Torture Rack.
Which makes me go, huh?
Yeah, interesting to see the Human Torture Rack come out of nowhere. Or does the championship change make you go, huh?
The championship change makes me go, huh?
Well, he is the last ever ECW champion. They remind you of that every time they can.
I could give a shit less. You know who was the last ever ECW champion? Rhino.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rhino.
Threw the bell in a garbage can at TNA Wrestling. And I think set it on fire, if I remember history right.
Yeah, he was the last ever ECW champion. Not that abomination that WWE put out after One Night Stand. But Ezekiel, like, you have so many individuals that could hold that belt, and that belt used to mean something. It just makes me go, ugh.
Absolutely.
It makes me sad. It does.
Oh. And that's fine. And that's the best part of their show. Opinions are welcome. If you got one, it's 267-297-1397. Or you can Skype Sir Rockin' at any point during the show. And you can jump on and give us your opinion. We had, as mentioned, CM Punk in an amazing match with Rey Mysterio. Just book them every night. Just put them out there every night.
Dude, him, Alberto, and Rey last night on Raw put on another classic.
Oh, yeah. You had two world championship matches. World champion Randy Orton defeated Christian despite Christian's leg being under the ropes. You had Evan Bourne defeat Jack Swagger. Supposedly that match was, I think they said it was supposed to have been possibly Sin Cara versus Cody Rhodes, and they opted to put Bourne and Swagger out there instead.
They opted for something safer.
No mood lighting needed in the Verizon Center. John Cena defeated R-Truth thanks to a young gentleman and a soda. I want to know if that kid's got a contract with WWE yet. Or a soda sponsor, who knows. So,
if Alan?
Yeah.
If I go running off real quick, it's because water is pouring into my house.
Is that what I hear in the background? Holy crap.
Well, part of it's my fan. Part of it's the thunderstorm.
There it is. It's usually me that's getting that here in Tampa.
No, there are three severe storm cells lined up back to back to back, mowing through where I live, and there's a spectacular light show going on right now. I mean, absolutely spectacular. The rain is coming down real hard, and of course, you just heard the thunder. But the way part of my house sits is it's kind of like on a, where the back patio is, there's kind of an incline that goes down into a cellar door into my basement. And water likes to drain right into there, into my sump pump. Sometimes it backs up in my basement. Like the last severe storm we had, I had about 1.5 inches of water on my basement floor.
Yikes.
So, if I go running off...
It's okay. Understand completely. Before we get to Monday Night Raw, something came out yesterday before Monday Night Raw that made me kind of go, really? WWE, in addition to a lot of controlled substances that they have on the banned list of the wellness policy, now is actually testing for something I've never heard of called synthetic marijuana. With a failure being a $2,500 fine, the same as if you had tested positive for the real deal. In an update last night, many of the products, including K2, Spice, Blaze, and Red X Dawn, are no longer legal. Yeah, no longer legal after the DEA placed an emergency 1-year ban on them effective March 1st. The ban will allow them to investigate the chemicals used to create the products and determine whether they should still remain illegal. They are considered Schedule 1 drugs, and many inside WWE are extremely unhappy about it because they had moved to the synthetic stuff after the real stuff got sacked. So it's just like, okay, you're looking at some of those guys in the locker room, and you want to wonder. You're sitting there going, okay, the Hardys aren't here anymore. Who's rocking the guns here? And if they are, that's fine. I've never had a problem with marijuana. Marijuana should be legalized and tax the hell out of it like they tax cigarettes. Why not?
Hey, let's not get too political here, all right?
I know. We'll save the meet the press stuff for another show. But I just had to bring that out there to just go, we're really freaking out about the medicinal marijuana. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This, before we get into Raw, this came out on a couple sites that are a part of our news gathering. And WWE is apparently thinking of expanding their Monday Night Grasp. The plan is, and this is just rough sketching, they haven't locked this in, so I want to read it to everybody and we'll gauge the temperature of our chat room listeners, and Spug and even Sir Rock and our god of internet radio can chime in with it. They are thinking of putting on a pre-show live from 8:30 to 9. It would be considered a countdown show to Monday Night Raw that would take place at the specific location for Raw. The production would include superstar interviews, fan interaction, and further promoting of the major storylines that will be going on in the promotion. It will be similar to, well, think Monday Night Football, how you have NFL Countdown or College Game Day.
You don't need that.
That this is supposed to be close to a done deal and may actually happen in the fall. I don't get it. Didn't WCW do this back in the day, but it was all internet-based? They had a... I think it was WCW Live that it was handled by Bob Ryder and Jeremy Borash back in the day? I mean, does this intrigue... This doesn't intrigue you at all. Are you shaking your head going, why the heck are we doing this?
My wife is asking me a question. I don't think that you really need that at all. I really don't.
Yeah, sure, Jersey Girl in our chat room is saying the same thing as him. Really? Apparently, really. Now, the news sources are saying that it's more time on the USA Network during the primetime hours of Monday night, which they can turn into more money. The ability to insert sponsors and promotions in the countdown show could mean more profit for WWE. Apparently, this has actually been in the works for some time. So I'm kind of surprised they do it for pay-per-view, but that's usually a canned, pre-taped thing in WWE studios in Stamford. So, I don't know.
I don't understand why that's too much coverage.
Well, and look what TNA tried after their move to Monday nights. They tried a post-show press conference thing, almost like it was, once again, I'll go back to Monday Night Football or the NBA Finals recently, where you'd sit. They did it with Kurt Angle would come walking in, and the press, in quotes, which were basically TNA plants, would ask press conference questions. And I remember sitting there watching this thing online, going, "Who are you trying to fool here? Who are you trying to fool here? There's no way actual internet media, first off, is getting off their butt and flying to Orlando on their own dime to cover this thing. I mean, I'm in Tampa. I wouldn't drive an hour and change to go see TNA now, and I could do that. So it's just a news item to put out there for everybody. I don't know how legit it would be. I have no idea. And apparently we have a commercial came on Ustream. Whoa. I have no idea what that's about. Monday Night Raw. Wow, was this a fun night.
The best part of Monday Night Raw was CM Punk.
Oh, yeah.
Because, one, I don't know how he didn't get fired on the spot for saying what he said.
Well, explain to everybody what happened.
There was a number one contenders match. It was a triple threat between Rey Mysterio. It was Rey Mysterio, Alberto Del Rio, and
CM Punk.
Mm-hmm. And Punk won. And at the end of the match, he got on the mic and said, "I'm going to be brutally honest." And he said, "It's something that has gotten me in trouble in my career in the past, and no doubt will get me in trouble now." I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly, word for word what he said.
No, you're pretty spot on.
And he goes on to talk about how on July 17th at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, he is going to, two historic things were going to happen. He was going to beat John Cena and become the new WWE champion. It's also the day that his contract with World Wrestling Entertainment ends. And he said last night in no uncertain terms that he was leaving. Like he was leaving the WWE, and he was going to be leaving with their belt. And I went, "What?" We know what Vince did to Bret Hart in 97 to keep him from doing that. I was amazed that he said what he said and got away with it.
Well, that's where it leads to a little research that I did, because I have friends that follow Ring of Honor, and immediately I grabbed a couple of them up and said, okay, back the car up for a second to when CM Punk was in Ring of Honor. And I said, okay, cool, we'll get on that. And they did. Now, there was, was known as the Summer of Punk, which was 2005, where he proclaimed then that he was going to leave Ring of Honor. He ended up not leaving and actually won the ROH World Championship and stayed around for two more months and dropped the belt to James Gibson, who I believe now works in WWE Developmental, maybe?
I don't think he's leaving.
All right, and apparently
Twitter is that old.
It is at least to 2005, so that they were telling me that correctly. My personal favorite part of the entire evening was the snow angel making, which trended.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, he got in the middle of the ring and basically had a sit-in and told the Raw GM, you know, make me the number one contender. I'm going to be the number, you know, do this, do that, do the other thing. He sat in the ring. He made snow angels in the ring and literally said, until you chime in, I'm going to be making snow angels. So he chimed in, or she, because we sure as hell don't know. And originally said, yes, I was going to name you the number one contender later, but now you're going to have to earn it, sweetheart. Now you're going to have to beat Rey Mysterio. And now you're going to have to beat Alberto Del Rio. And it set that up. And it was just like, when he cut the promo, I was just sitting there going, work! It's like, this is a work because
it's
nothing
is... All right.
Go ahead.
It's probably a work. I will agree with you. But I will say this. It's brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Please let that man speak more often. Please do. Because it's genius. He gets everything in such a froth and frenzy when he speaks that people don't know what the hell to do. I sat there in my room. I was in my bedroom last night wrestling around with the kid, throwing her around the bed, teaching her how to do a vertical suplex.
Oh, jeez.
My kid's going to go into wrestling school and know how to do all kinds of stuff. She does a really good flare bump. It's kind of funny.
Oh, God.
It is. It's really funny.
Coming soon to YouTube.
Quite possibly, although I don't want all the, the people with their panties in a bunch to scream child abuse. Anyway.
If your kid's smacking you around, it's not child abuse.
No, but, like, I'll grab her, give her the forearm shiver, and she'll flare bump. It's great.
Oh, my God. You were saying about watching Raw. Mm.
I had to stop when he said what he said, and I was just like, I was amazed. I was absolutely amazed. Because WWE gives us this in little flashes. They give us the psychology and promo work that people who actually know how to talk. You know, they didn't give CM Punk that promo word for word. You and I know this.
Oh, sure. They're given bullet points. The best of the best are given bullet points. You need to hit ABC while you're out there. Go.
Right. I wish they would do that, and I don't do it for just the best of the best. You do it for everybody who can talk. You know, you're not going to give Shelton Benjamin bullet points, but you could. I think you could safely give Kane bullet points. He's not the best on the mic, but he does okay. You know what I mean?
I think you could. I think that was the case for Austin and The Rock. Flair and Dusty were probably the pre-runners to do, and that superstar Billy Graham, if you want to go back in time, can do it. I was going to say, this is a work because Vince McMahon, Stephanie Levesque, Kevin Dunn, whoever is producing, they don't let you do jack crap on television until it's been scrutinized, homogenized, gone through all 600 writers that work on the show. This is a work to get either the belt off of Cena, and this is how you're going to do it, because, where's the pay-per-view? CM Punk's hometown of Chicago, the Second City Saints' hometown.
Yeah, but we all know that you never win in your hometown.
And Punk may be the one that breaks the cycle. You never know.
I have a theory. I have a bit of a theory.
Okay.
Because they alluded to the briefcase on Sunday, right?
Yeah, Miz did.
Miz alluded to the briefcase on Sunday at the pay-per-view. Miz is going to win Money in the Bank. And Punk, and I do think that Punk's going to win the title. And at SummerSlam, it's going to be Punk and Miz.
I actually would like to see that match and just the mic work that would go on between the two of them.
Oh, yeah.
Just the mic work, because just look what they did last night with Christian, R-Truth, and The Miz all in one place at one time.
I didn't get to hear it.
Yeah, the interwebs went nuts of going like, what a waste of time, this, that, and the other thing. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah.
I thought it was brilliant because you're just looking at the three of them going, did they make this up?
I don't... When you get into it, all the mic work that goes on with those individuals, I'm so glad that it happened. Like I didn't get to see it with R-Truth, Christian, and who is it, Miz?
Yeah.
Like I didn't get to see that, but I did read a couple of stories, and I like that. I really do, because when you have individuals who can talk, it makes your product so much better. TNA, take notice. For all the dumb shit that WWE does, they give us shining little gems like that. And that is how you should run a wrestling company. Not release one of your top wrestling talents, Nigel McGuinness.
Oh, we'll address him in the next segment. We'll talk all about Nigel.
So retarded.
Yeah, this evening was fans' choice. As we had said Sunday night, I said Cyber Monday or Manic Monday or whatever. And let me run what happened. And then we'll tell you all the real fun stuff that happened.
Speaking of fans' choice.
Sure.
It was a match that happened on Raw. And I want to get your thought on this. Because I like the direction they're going. With bringing DiBiase and Rhodes back together.
Oh, yeah.
And the feud that they're having going on right now between Rhodes and Danielson. Is top notch. I mean, I was enthralled watching that last night.
Oh yeah, they're great together. They are absolutely great together.
Is that something at some point you can interject the U.S. or Intercontinental title into to make it that much better? Or is it better without it?
I don't think they need a belt. I think the three of them get over, and if you mix Sin Cara in every so often in a tag deal, I think it could work without it. You can mix, trying to think who else you can mix from SmackDown in there with Daniel Bryan.
There's probably
a couple mid-card guys that are over there that you could plug in, because Evan Bourne's on SmackDown, on Raw now, so you can't bring him over.
What about, if you're not interjecting anybody into it, I mean, if you're not interjecting a belt into it, is it something that with a little bit of mic work, because I've never really heard Danielson on this stick, so I don't know how well he is, you know, how good he is on the stick. I've heard a couple of his promos and they were eh, and I know Cody can talk because look who his dad is.
Oh yeah. And he's getting on the money with some of these promos, especially when he was getting into Mania with Ray. I was just sitting there going, wow.
Yeah. I mean, look who his dad is. And you look at it, I mean, if you open up Dusty's Rolodex, you know, because I'm sure Dusty's one of those guys that has a Rolodex still. I'm sure that there are a number of people who can give you pointers on how to give a promo in that Rolodex. And... So is it something that can sustain for a little bit if you just interject a couple of people into it and some mic work?
Oh, sure. I could see that going to SummerSlam.
Without a belt.
Yeah. Okay. But the thing is, you've got to get the belt off. If you're going to do it with the belt, now you're going to get it off Ezekiel Jackson. And which of those three, it's Rhodes or DiBiase that you're going to have to put in there to get the belt off of him. And now you put him in there in a triple threat or whatever for the belt. You could put Cody's mask up at some point or some DiBiase money. Can't put Maryse up. She's too busy hosting NXT or being on Monday Night Raw.
How about interjecting this? Sin Cara, Ziggler, Rhodes, Danielson for the U.S. belt.
I could see that. That would definitely make for interesting. Anytime you can put some of those guys out there together, I mean, just look at the matches that Dolph and Kofi have been having. They're spectacular.
Or what? If you take Kofi out of the picture, you have, just follow me along on this, okay?
Sure.
The storyline's going on. You have Cody. You have Danielson get some revenge on DiBiase, and injure DiBiase with a LaBelle lock, and put DiBiase out. So you have. You have Cody Rhodes teaming up with Ziggler, and you have Danielson teaming up with Kofi. Eventually, can you work that into a four-way of Danielson, Kofi, Rhodes, and Ziggler for the U.S. belt? And if it's at SummerSlam, does that match steal the show?
I think so. And that's the fun part of us being able to be here. We can armchair book, and maybe one of the 20 writers in Stanford is listening going, I like that idea. I'm going to make it my own. I'm going to embrace it. I wish they would have embraced learning how to run voting on a show. Let me run the matches for you. These are the same people that are doing the election votes. We're in deep crap come next November.
They're the same people that worked in Miami-Dade.
Exactly. They're unemployed, so they're like, fine, come here, we're going to teach you how to do this texting thing. Now, this just in. At some point, when you did the Cyber Sunday pay-per-views, and Leo Honky Tonk Man talked about it in an interview when he was a part of Cyber Sunday or whatever day it was on, and he said, yes, the voting was legitimately done by the fans, but it was cut off a certain point before the match so you could work out your match. Here's what happened on Raw, and we'll talk the matches, and then we'll talk, as I said, about the holy crap, I can't believe this happened stuff. You have a new Divas champion, and our new friend Jackie Feist, when I was doing something else last night, started typing away to me, going, you're not going to believe what happened. It was supposed to, you know, they had Beth Phoenix, and they had Eve, and they had Kelly, and Kelly won the fans' vote, and Kelly's your new Divas champion. And I said, I'm okay. Belt looks plastic. Why not put it on plastic? Yes, I went there. Deal with it. All right. Fans had a choice of Mason Ryan, Sin Cara, or Jack Swagger.
For what?
Apparently, you fans chose Mason Ryan to take on Evan Bourne and
what?
Defeat Evan Bourne. Stay with me. My story gets fun. The fans chose Mark Henry to take on Kane in an arm wrestling match. That never happened because as Mark Henry was about to lose, he attacked Kane with the table and then put him through the Monday Night Raw announce table. We had the fans choosing a stipulation between Dolph Ziggler and Kofi Kingston. One of them was a collegiate wrestling match, I believe. Vicky Guerrero banned from ringside.
A collegiate wrestling?
Stay with me. My story gets fun.
Well, they did the collegiate wrestling thing again in the the Rhodes Bryan Daniel match.
Yeah. So the fans apparently chose a 2 out of 3 falls match where Dolph Ziggler loses, but the third fall ended in a disqualification, as Howard Finkel used to remind us all the time, cannot change hands on a count under DQ. Ziggler keeps the belt. The fans chose for the triple threat match between Alberto Del Rio and Rey Mysterio and CM Punk. Falls count anywhere. I don't think it really mattered because
that match never went out of the ring.
That match was phenomenal and proved that the three of them could work interchanged. It was perfect. And then, of course, you had your promo. You had the fans choosing as a stipulation for Daniel Bryan, who defeated Cody Rhodes, a no count out match. Okay. Matt Stryker actually emceed a dance off. Yes. A dance off. Between Vicky Guerrero and Michael, I can do the warm and look bad doing it, Cole. And, of course, your six-man main event, which was signed by SmackDown GM Teddy Long, I guess he turned the laptop wireless signal off to the venue, so oops. You had, in an elimination match, WWE Champion John Cena, Alex Riley, and World Champion Randy Orton defeating The Miz, R-Truth, and Christian. Now, here's where all the fun comes in. A lot of stuff was posted on WWE.com. This was actually released on their Twitter. Technical errors occurred in some of the voting results during Raw Power to the People. Check out WWE.com throughout the day. This was posted around 12:50, 1 o'clock. WWE apologizes to the WWE Universe, Raw's Power to the People voters, and especially Sin Cara and Evan Bourne. The match vote was skewed by a heavy backlog of votes from the Divas Championship match. Now, if you remember right, fans, choice B in the Divas match was Kelly Kelly. Choice B in the match to take on Evan Bourne was Mason Ryan. Hence how Mason Ryan walked out there, and Evan Bourne is standing. Everybody's going, why does Evan Bourne have that look on his face? It's like, because Evan wasn't expecting Mason Ryan. He had a match mapped out with Sin Cara. And proved that sometimes you can't match up people in certain ways, man. It just doesn't happen. I'm not done yet. WWE eventually also admits that due to technical problems with the voting, the match between Dolph Ziggler and Kofi Kingston that turned out to be a 2 out of 3 falls match was supposed to have been Vicky Guerrero banned from ringside. Oops. Votes for the third bout, which was Mark Henry versus Kane in an arm wrestling contest, were counted correctly. However, problems began to occur again during the poll for Ziggler and Kofi, and so many text votes were received, the system overloaded and crashed, and Sorokin, I believe, was called to help out. They restarted the tabulating system, allowing things to run more smoothly, with the voting for the triple threat match to determine the number one contendership to the WWE champion going off without a hitch. However, oh boy. Regrettably, technical difficulties occurred once more, leading to the six-man tag team main event, when it became apparent to WWE management the text votes were again not being tabulated properly at the time the match decision was made to turn over to WWE's live chat poll. With the power still in the hands of the people, the WWE Universe selected the elimination match as an overwhelming 78%, leading to that stipulation being enacted. Now, I'm no technical wizard. I've never proclaimed to be. What the crap? How do you screw this up?
Because it's the WWE.
I mean, you did it for Cyber Sunday, Cyber Monday, for what, 2-3 pay-per-views, maybe? And unfortunately, that was when I was not watching WWE pay-per-view regularly. But you worked pretty good when you did it through WWE.com. Is this the same system that's used for that American Idol or Got Talent or Don't Have Talent shows or The Voice show or, you know, text A for this, text B for this, do that, do D? Oh, that's right. You make money on text because standard messaging rates apply.
You and your voices.
I just think it's like, what the hell? How do you screw this up? I buy what I've said here with, you know, our little issues with guests this evening. Welcome to live TV, as Randy Orton actually said at one point during a promo, I think last week he did it, mm-hmm. where something went down, and he's like, welcome to live TV. But still, wouldn't you have, you know, you can rig the damn voting.
Right.
You could have rigged the damn thing and said, we've got a backup in place. This is in the event the system crashes. This is what we want. We want this to go down. We want that to go down. Cool. Now, eventually the interwebs went nuts, and I know Twitter went nuts, because I went to do something totally different online, and I said, oh, let me go put out the thing for the radio show on the Twit. And next thing I know, fans are going gaga nuts that John Cena won the match. And I'm mentally thinking, who cares? It's a 6-man elimination match. Either him or Orton were going to win the damn thing. No, fans are actually going off on forums all over the place about Cena's ego so big, he has to do this, do that. Who cares? Hate to break it to you, John Cena doesn't get the book the way a lot of his stuff gets done, as much as we like to think he does. No, at least you got your hero shot at the end of the WWE champion, the world champion, standing there together with the belts. Didn't kill anybody off. Didn't hurt Christian. Didn't hurt R-Truth. Certainly didn't hurt The Miz.
Right.
But I mean, at least with Raw Roulette next Sunday with Shawn Michaels, and everybody's going, Shawn Michaels! I said, yes, Shawn's pubbing his show on Versus. Which is name, unfortunately, I'm totally slipping on right now. Oh, let me see if I got it here. No, I don't. I lost. But he's apparently got a show on what used to be it might be on Outdoor or maybe on Versus. It's a hunting show where I guess today Sean's going to shoot a deer. Can the deer shoot back at Sean?
Oh, quit knocking on hunters.
I'm not knocking on hunters. I just remember a Far Side cartoon from back in the day, and that was a part of the cartoon, was the hunter shooting and the bear standing there going, when's my turn? I'm not knocking hunters at all. It wasn't an attack on hunters. I just had that cartoon flash in my head, and that was something that popped for me.
I may have to poke you in the eye.
Oh, dear Lord. Okay, so at least we know they haven't been announced yet. We know one match that will happen on July 17th from the Allstate Arena, and that is WWE Champion John Cena will take on CM Punk. You most likely will have Randy Orton defending the World Championship against, I have no idea at this point. It's Mark Henry's in there. Sheamus is still in there. Christian's got to be gone now. And he came out and talked to R-Truth last night. Like, I need one more shot. And R-Truth's like, how many have you had, dude? That was the funnier
part. Christian will get this title match.
Okay. And you've got, obviously, a Raw Money in the Bank match, a SmackDown Money in the Bank match. So that'll get you to there. And you've got plenty of time to build. I'm guessing maybe, I don't know if you do it at Raw Roulette where you book the SmackDown, the Monday Night Raw Money in the Bank match. Cause the Roulette goes back, that was Eric Bischoff's supposed creation, and You have all kinds of craziness going on there.
He's full of shit.
Well, that was the supposed creation in storyline sense. Like, in storyline sense, he created the Elimination Chamber. That was always a storyline. I don't think Eric himself has ever appeared. Oh, there it is. Jersey Girls found. It's Shawn Michaels' McMillan River Adventures. That actually sounds interesting. That actually does sound interesting.
I don't like him.
Which one, Shawn or Bischoff?
Bischoff.
Oh, we'll talk Bischoff in the next segment. A news and note that came across to me here, in case we don't cover the UFC later on in the evening when Allison Danger calls in, if we run out of time.
There's things we're not allowed to talk about still, right?
In which regard?
Upcoming interview.
You mean the one that's on Tuesday?
No. Isn't there one coming up within...
You mean the one in July?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, we'll address that in a minute or two. But I wanted to bring this up because, as fans may not know, Spug and Ace host UFC has their pay-per-views, they host a great thing called Tap Out, From Tap Outs to Knockouts, and sometimes it appears in podcast form. This came across that UFC 135 in Denver on September 24th will have Nate Diaz taking on Takanori Gomi?
Takanori Gomi, yes.
Now, apparently this was a match in Pride a few years ago.
It was badass.
So that hopefully will be going down. And I don't know if to cover this in TNA notes or WWE, so I'll just say, remember back in the day, a couple years ago, maybe it was last year, Scott Hall, bar incident, gets arrested. Scott's going to jail.
Is he?
He's going to go for, I think it's anywhere from 7 to 10 days, somewhere in the Orlando area.
No, he's not really going to jail.
He's doing the Paris Hilton. I'm going to jail. Keep the car running.
He needs to go and actually get some serious help.
He has, from what I've been told. I mean, especially when WWE has a wellness issue. So we're not going to say he's going to be in the medical ward of the jail for 2 days. That's going to help. I don't know. I am straight edge legitimately, unlike certain other people that we've addressed before on this show. So I don't know.
Alone.
Yeah, I don't know what it's. That's the statement. He's only in there for 2 days. Okay. So I don't know what it takes to come off of whatever you're on. He's had issues going back to his run in WCW, which got made into a storyline, which, see how wonderful that worked out. And if you haven't bought it yet, the very best of WCW Nitro is on sale through WWEshop.com and retailers. I've gotten through the first disc, and it's fun. Till the NWO shows up, and then you're like, hey, matches. Oh, it's just them killing... Oh, hey, it's another mat. Oh, it's them killing people again.
It's about as fulfilling as that LeBron James NBA Finals performance.
Yep, but it's fun because they show the infamous NWO attack at the Disney MGM Studios that ended up backstage where Rey Mysterio gets lawn darted into one of the portable units there, and they actually had so many people in the Orlando area, and I have friends that worked at Disney MGM at the time that said that it got, and Eric Bischoff talks about it on the, I think the Monday Night Wars DVD, that it said it was so crazy that people in Lake Buena Vista, Orlando, Kissimmee area actually called 911 to say that a full-scale brawl and riot was going on backstage. That's why all those ambulances and fire and everybody show up. Because you had MGM staff coming over and telling them, and WCW staff running over going, okay, this is a part of the event. I'm like, you can't duplicate that kind of stuff, man. So definitely get a copy of that if you can. I believe there will be a DVD release in the next week or two involving the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. I believe that's supposed to be June 28th. And then there will be the Best Cage Matches DVD, which is July 12th, which didn't we do that a few years ago?
Hmm.
And that
they're doing another cage. And I never got to see Bloodbath, and I'm really pissed off about it. Because one of my favorite cage matches isn't on there, and I'm hoping it's on this one.
Oh, really? Which one would that be?
Bobo Brazil and Bruno Sammartino. I think it was Bruno Sammartino.
Could have been.
I think.
Could have been. At this point, we're going to take, yes, a timeout. We need to take our first timeout of the evening. We will come back. We will address all the fun that is going on in TNA Wrestling, and I'm also talking about backstage stuff. I gotta fill some time. We are hoping to hear from Allison Danger in this hour coming up. She's possibly gonna call at 10:30. That may change. So, stay with us on Online World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be back.
Wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestlers today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy.
Christian Cage.
Brett Derry.
Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Woogerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein, the inventor of the light bulb, the creator of the internet, a professional grass waterer, and of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Aw, you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
It is time once again for the annual Mario Marathon, now in its fourth year over at www.mariomarathon.com. Starting Friday, the 24th of June, and lasting as long as your donations allow it to continue, join the extensive Mario Marathon crew as they play their way through the history of Super Mario Bros., all in the name of donations for the Child's Play charity. So please, head on over to MarioMarathon.com from Friday and donate so the guys can keep playing and the sick kids can get some of the games that we take for granted. So once again, head over to www.mariomarathon.com or else, game over.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really move him. I said see you.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the folks at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Is Impact really on right now in a replay on Spike TV? Jersey Girl's saying it is. That's interesting. Spug from Wrestle Talk Radio, regular on this program, is joining us as well.
I am here.
We will be joined at some point during this next segment or two by Allison Danger, the goddess of shimmer.
I had to get a pickle.
Ooh.
Kosher dill.
Interesting.
So, yes.
TNA Wrestling, or sorry, Impact Wrestling is what apparently I have to legally call it. July 10th is Destination X, and believe it or not, it's supposed to be an all X Division pay-per-view. We'll see about that.
Isn't the TNA title being defended on it, though?
Not 100% sure what's going on with that. I haven't heard anything. But here's what went down on Impact. They set up this Bound for Glory series, which, oh boy, we'll address that in a couple minutes.
Yeah.
You had Brother Devin, or Devon, defeat Hernandez via DQ, some assist of some sort from the Pope D'Angelo De Niro. I believe Devon's kids are involved again, because heaven forbid we bad idea involving family members. We had in one of the first X Division matches, which I believe this is to qualify for the Ultimate X. I may be wrong on that because I couldn't really figure out what the heck Tanae and Taz were talking about. My head was still spinning from the Bound for Glory thing. You had in a triple threat match, Austin Aries making his return to TNA, despite what they did kind of tease it that he was here. They didn't mention that he was the Austin Star, defeating Jimmy Rave of the Rock and Rave Infection, which was really neat because the Rock is not there. He's in Japan right now. Hi, Lance Hoyt, we miss you. And the man who at one point actually crapped all over TNA Wrestling in an infamous radio interview, the notorious K.I.D. Kid Cash, who looked really good. I was very surprised. I had not seen Cash perform in a while. And it was just like, wow, look at the notorious K.I.D. go. So that was fun to see. Your Knockout Tag Team Champions, Razita and Sarita, defeated Velvet Sky and Miss Tessmacher, thanks to some help from the ODB. And Jackie Moore! Yeah, Miss Jacqueline, the Pride of Texas, Miss Texas, whatever other nicknames you want to give her, she's back. Again.
Parker!
Yeah, I'm aware of that. In the Bound for Glory series, Rob Van Dam earned some points defeating Samoa Joe in a very good match. I'm very surprised that they worked as well as they did together. Earlier in the evening, Gunner came out interrupted Mr. Anderson's promo and said, "Oh, I beat Sting. I get title shot. I want match." At least that's what I think Gunnar said. So Gunnar gets the match.
Is Gunnar not speak English?
Gunnar's interesting. I'm not mocking him. It's just the promos. I'm just like, yeah, okay, you want a title match. Good for you. He ends up getting a non-title match and defeats Mr. Anderson. Earlier in the evening, you had Kurt Angle come out and say, well, I'm going to try out for the 2012 Olympics. We talked about it last week. Do you think he should do it? Shouldn't he do it? Well, he's claiming on TNA Impact Wrestling he's going to do it. Of course, Triple
J. I hope he does, and I hope he gets on the team.
Why not? I'm all for it. If he can do it, more power to him. Because he's still talked about in the amateur ranks as one of the best ever. And that's amazing to say. Ever. And there's some amazing amateur athletes that are out there that have gone on to some great stuff.
An interesting little side note. Do you know who Kurt Angle's alternate was for the 96 Olympics?
No, but I think you do.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, say it.
Randy the Natural Couture.
Which I would never have guessed in a million years. That's amazing.
Randy Couture has been an alternate for the Olympics 3 straight times.
Wow. Well, that just adds more to the legacy of Randy Couture.
Mm-hmm.
It does. I love Jeff Jarrett, but dude, go away.
Are you finally on that bandwagon with me?
Well, let me say why. Because like Christian whining, moaning, and groaning about, I want one more shot of Randy Orton. Please give me one more shot of Randy Orton. Pretty please, beg. I'll give you my cookies. I'll give you my stamp collection. That's what Jeff is doing here. They're like, you know, okay, fine. So they have this parking lot confrontation. And I believe he basically said in his promo, you know, if I can't beat you, I'm going to go to Mexico or something. And I'm going, yeah, but you're supposed to go work down there anyway, dumbass. And people know that. So sure enough, he goes to Mexico. And he's now the AAA World Heavyweight Champion because this past Saturday night in Mexico City at Triple Mania 19? That's amazing. The TNA co-founder defeated El Zorro in one of the 3 main events with the stroke, which, you know, great for Jeff, led to an onslaught of bottles being thrown. Also on that show were Rob Van Dam, Dr. Wagner Jr., also Mr. Anderson, Abyss, Mickey James, Angelina Love, and Velvet Sky. I'm not even going to try to explain this craziness that is this BF whoever thing, this Bound for Glory thing is totally crazy.
I don't even know about it. Like, I don't watch TNA. So.
Okay. Let me run this. This is apparently going to take place over the next 3 months to set up the main event at Bound for Glory.
Really? Seriously? You're going to take 3 months to set up your main event? Look, I could get behind it and get it if it was a program. Like, if it was an actual legitimate, we're already working it, you know, program. They're not.
Now, it's supposed to be a point system.
A point system. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Now, 12 competitors will take place. This will happen. The top 4 will take the top 4 and the points will go to No Surrender, I believe, is the pay-per-view. And whoever comes out of that is going to become your champion. So you've got Rob Van Dam, AJ Styles, Gunnar, Bully Ray, Crimson, Tennessee Cowboy James Storm, Matt Morgan, Brother Devon, Scott Steiner, the Pope D'Angelo De Niro, Bobby Roode, and Samoa Joe. this Thursday on Impact, we're going to get to see a classic, which I can't believe I'm about to say. And I'm just, we're going to get Bully Ray versus Scott Steiner. Is this something you've been sitting there going, I want that match? I want to know, TNA fans, do you really want to see that match? Because I sure as heck don't.
Oh, I can't wait, dude. That'll be Botchamania for the next 6 months.
Oh, of course. And Mace is in our chat room. Hi, Mace.
What the fuck is Mace doing in our chat room and not on the air?
Lunch break. Yeah, Mace has been taken hostage by a tech support group that he's learning, doing some customer service training and other stuff, so...
Get the fuck out of our chair room!
He's there having fun.
Fuck him.
So...
You can't show up on the show, buddy. Don't show up in the chat room.
So, to wrap up the actual TNA coverage, because then I want to really quick get to a Paul Heyman issue.
Paul Heyman issue?
Yeah, well, it was a news item.
Paul Heyman has lots of issues.
Oh, yeah. Thanks to Mace, I got to see an interesting video of him and Missy Hyatt in Manhattan, and I'm just going, you wasted 4 minutes on this with Missy? Wow. Okay.
I made it a minute and 36 seconds into that video.
When she started dry humping Derek Jeter, that's when I turned it off. That's when I left. I just was like, oh, go away. A lot of TNA wrestling, Impact Wrestling fans have been sitting there going, you know, calling Matt Hardy many a nickname. You have an affectionate one for him.
Fat Hardy!
Yes, we like to call him the Taser Kid in certain circles. Matt Hardy has apparently been suspended. The reasoning is, apparently, he's taken after his brother Jeff during his WWE time, and that was showing up late. So, Matt, of course, went to the Twitter, social networker himself, and actually posted a few days ago regarding his absence from TNA TV, quote, between dates, injuries, and outside issues, I'm going to have a few week off, and I'm ecstatic. The Matt Hardy movement, going into full effect. Okay?
What? Shut up!
Whatever you say, dude. I've never understood them. They're just a pairing. I'm just sitting there going, dude, what the heck?
I hate them so much. So very much. Fat Hardy and his coke addict brother, I hate them.
Alright, now we will get to the man known as Paul Heyman, who, when he first showed up on that video, I was looking going, really, who is that? And sure enough, he started talking, and I'm like, holy crap, that's Paul Heyman! I don't want to hear anybody ever say, dude, you don't look good. Paul Heyman did a interview with, I believe it's called TV Tracks. According to him, Dixie's too nice to succeed. Paul Heyman says, I like Dixie Carter. I think she's a nice lady. I really do. And I hope her company does well, but I think they're in the exact same spot a lot of people were stuck in during the early 90s. With the exception, I think, of Dixie not being ruthless enough to her company's benefit. I think she's too nice of a human being, and the dynamic of letting people go just doesn't appeal to her. Oh, you actually have the audio?
No. He's talking about the song.
Oh, that? Oh.
Yeah.
I apologize. We'll get there. Allison Danger's on the standby. She'll be with us in a couple moments because I wanted to address this because this, reading this, I'm just sitting going, what could have been, man? So during this thing, and you can track it down online, he goes on to reveal that his vision of TNA would have turned the company on its head and pushed youth over what he felt was too many legends, hogging the spotlight. Now, remember, a while back, he had said, I was going to go around the locker room, Ari Gold. I mean, I envision him going around like Ari Gold did in Entourage with the gun after he takes over Terrence's thing. And he goes around with the pink gun blasting everybody. I can see Paul Heyman doing that, going, how old are you? 39? You lie. So he said he was going to chop the heads off of everyone over the age of 40. Paul says, my concept was to go youth, 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 and nothing but youth. And always have one legend around who's your exception that passes the torch to the next generation. And also because, being the one legend, that person would stand out. Paul continues saying, the point is when you have a roster full of legends and veterans, the veterans and legends don't stand out. You can't market them. If you have one legend on the roster, it's special. A la maybe Terry Funk ECW? That's not a quote. People noticed them. I was looking to differentiate characters and have different cultures and genres and demographics represented and bring this potpourri mix, yes, that category on Jeopardy, on the television with a younger, hungry, aggressive campaign with contemporary music, etc. TNA was fine with this concept, as was Spike TV, but Dixie Carter didn't want to let go of the legends. Heyman said that was basically a deal breaker. He said, I can't market youth and brand the company as hungry, young, aggressive alternative to WWE when there are 6 to 8 bona fide legends that are all in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and it totally detracts from the branding we're trying to initiate. And at the end of the day, I just knew it was going to fail, and I wasn't going to get back in the wrestling business at any price to fail. That's a mouthful and a half from Paul Heyman.
He's right.
But he hits on a lot of stuff, and we've said it here, too. And it's funny to think, and I'm covering the company as long as
I have. He just hit everything that is wrong with TNA.
Yeah, because the fun part was, at one point, I think they said to AJ Styles, who's been in TNA for 9 years, one of them, some older veteran who I can't remember, had said, maybe it wasn't Bully Ray, and had said, you haven't done jack crap with your career. And I'm like, God, look at his multi-world time world champion, X-Division champion, world tag team champion.
Hasn't done anything.
So to do something, he's had to have gone elsewhere, is what many people are saying. Because he's never worked WWE. He worked WCW in the passing days in Air Paris back in the day.
I don't necessarily know if he had to if he has to leave TNA, but you know, when you look at AJ Styles' resume, that's a name that you should know. You know what I mean? That's a name that you should absolutely 100% know if you're a wrestling fan. And unfortunately, because of the way he's booked and used in TNA, most general wrestling fans have no clue who he is. And it's sad.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just... It just blows your mind to hear all of that. It's just like, wow.
The screwed up part is that Heyman is right. Okay.
But he never mentions... let me jump in real quicker. A lot of stories came out. We had addressed it here a few times that he wanted total control and he wanted stock in the company. And I haven't listened to the full interview. Doesn't seem to be coming out of Paul that way, that I wanted this, I wanted that. All he wanted to do was, push my younger stars.
I don't think he wanted...
Get them over.
I don't think he wanted any of those things. I think what that was is when that deal fell through was a smokescreen by perhaps Jeff and Dixie, to kind of make Heyman look like the bad guy. You know, I really don't think that he wanted any of those things. I think that he wanted the book and the control that comes with having the book, but after that, you know, as a booker, you have the ability to make those roster changes. So that's an amount of control, but I really don't think that he wanted all of the things that they say he wanted stock and he wanted this and he wanted that. I don't buy it.
He wanted free power from Panda Energy forever. It's like, I'm moving to China. I want you to hook me up.
I don't buy it.
Now, we're going to take our next time out of the evening. When we come back, Miss Allison Danger will be joining us, and we will address WSU's Uncensored Rumble 4, which takes place this Saturday on iPay-Per-View. Online World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be right back on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Hello, Fear Restaurant. May I help you?
Yes. I'd like to make order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice.
Only vegetable.
Vegetable
Hello?
Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Vegetable
no
fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you... Egg is okay? No egg.
Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yeah.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean to fried rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow peas.
No snow pea?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
Yeah, we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want chicken fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum
for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at onlineworldofwrestling.com.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show. So tune in. Listen. I demand it.
This is Alicia from WSU Wrestling, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, over for the Wild Talk Radio Network. Our friends at Click Wrestle On Demand, where you can actually go and download matches of some of the greats in the business, including our next guest. She is one of the best in the business. She's been overseas. She's been in Shimmer for several years.
Since day one.
Yeah, and we'll address that because she's integral into that promotion. She will actually be working this Saturday night for our friends, Women Superstars Uncensored, as they host the Uncensored Rumble 4, which we addressed with Alicia a couple weeks ago, and we were going to address with Jessica Havoc, but unfortunately, real life gets in the way, and we understand completely her real life got involved, so Allison Danger is here with us this evening, and we thank you for taking time out of your training schedule, as you are going to be taking on Cindy Rogers at this event. Is this your first time ever in WSU, or have you been there before?
No, I've never been there before. This is, essentially, this should be a one-shot deal. I don't know if it'll lead to anything else, but I'm going into it being that it's just one special night. Cindy wants one last go at me, so.
How long of a rivalry have you had? Did it start in Shimmer, or did it start in other promotions?
We've had rivalries at WXW out of Allentown with Afa and Samu. You know, Shimmer was the real big one. We had a little bit going when we did Queen's Cup back in 2007. I defeated her there. So, but this could essentially be the biggest match between the two of us. And I mean, there's a lot going on. There's a huge history with Cindy and I. And it ended very positively for him. I'm assuming it's going to end very positively for me again this time. But, you know, there's a lot of emotion, a lot of history there. It's weird because we broke in not that far apart from each other. I think I had a year in before I met Cindy breaking in. And we've always been so similar with, you know, down to looks, down to style. And it's the end of an era with her saying goodbye on Saturday.
Yeah, and unfortunately, she's had, it's an injury thing. It's not a, well, I want to take a step aside. And Sean McCaffrey of WSU had sent notes to us saying, you know, if you'd like to have Cindy on. I said, well, yeah, but then I saw where your opponent was. And I was like, I like Cindy, but I've interviewed Allison before, and I think we'll have fun with her too. No slight to
right.
Cindy, because you have such a diverse background that we had Kenny King on recently talking about the Ring of Honor event, which is going to be this Sunday. So I feel bad if you're a wrestling fan because you're going to have WSU on Saturday, and then you've got ROH Sunday, and then you go to Monday Night Raw on Monday, and then you're back listening to us on Tuesday with Jay Lethal, and you're going to be like, I'm so busy. Many fans may not remember you worked for Ring of Honor for several years. as the manager, valet, whatever you want to call it, with one of my favorite gimmicks, which was the prophecy. Take fans back. What led to your initial dealings with ROH, and how did you actually become part of the prophecy?
What it came down to was when Ring of Honor was first coming together, I was contacted and brought in for the initial show. And essentially, Gabe Sapolsky's idea was I was just going to be a one-shot deal. I was going to come out with Christopher Street Connection. I was going to go through a table, and that was going to be the last of me. You know, get the Hit Squad just like super, super big, super tough. You know, they take no prisoners, whether it be men, women, gay, straight, doesn't matter. But somehow the chemistry between Mace, Buffy, and I was so good. And you can actually see on the video, he's like, I knew we had to keep you. It was when those two start making out the ring, and I, like, legit pop for it. And I was like, this is awesome. This is hot. Yeah, you guys, go. Go get it. Go at it. And Gabe's like, as soon as I saw what you brought to that group, he was like, I knew I couldn't split you guys up. I had to keep you guys together. So they kept us together for a year. And then I want to say it was Buffy having some problems, like, outside of wrestling, and he was going to have to take care of. So he would be taking some time off. And it looked like Mace and I were going to get split up and not brought back at all. And then the idea was thrown around because at the time my brother was part of the group, and Chris Daniels was starting a feud with him, and he had the prophecy going. And what they did was they were like, well, what about putting you in with Chris? And the storyline is that's when you'll first be revealed to be Steve's sister, because Steve and I never really acknowledged it in wrestling to allow me the chance to build my own name and my own reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the storyline was Chris was going to bring the one person in the world who knew Steve almost as well as he did and knew all his secrets and all his weaknesses and his faults. And that's when they bring baby sister into the mix. And that's what put me with Chris. And, you know, I was so lucky. I just happened to be at the right place at the right time. And Daniels is such an amazing person, not just in the ring, but, like, outside the ring. He really took me under his wing and really helped make the person that you see today. I mean, he spent so much time working with me, you know, wrestling-wise, managing-wise, and I got really lucky. And then, you know, the different, you know, incarnations of the prophecy with Moth eventually joining with BJ. Xavier was there for a little bit, you know. It was a good time.
We're interactive on this show. You can call in to 267-297-1397. Or you can do like Jersey Girl did, and you can Skype Sarah Rockin. Hey, Jersey, welcome to the show.
Hi, Alan.
Yep, you're on with Allison Danger.
Hi, Allison.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. You coming out this weekend?
I wish I could. Unfortunately, it's a little bit too far away for me.
Ooh.
I know. I'm sorry. Actually, I have two questions for you.
And the second one will cost you.
One is kind of like a personal question, because I've actually got to meet your nephew. I got to meet Colby at a wrestling event in Brooklyn maybe about a month and a half ago.
Okay.
And I know him and your brother Steve are big Phillies fans. Are you a Phillies fan as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They are the team to beat this year. And I
just made Sir Rock and our technical producer very happy and made me as a Yankee fan frown.
If I knew you were a Yankee fan, I never would have even accepted this interview. I'm going to Vancouver this interview.
By the way, Allison, the Phillies are winning 3-2 and they got the bases loaded.
Yes!
In the eighth. So,
I
this made me a little bit happy.
I have a little Phillies outfit that on certain days when they're not playing so well, because I follow them on Twitter, I'll throw the outfit on my daughter and be like, all right, baby, bring our Phillies good luck. Okay, mommy. She'll rock her Phillies outfit.
Does the fact that I'm an Indians fan offset the fact that we're stuck with a Yankees fan?
God.
The Indian stuff doesn't bother me that much. If you would have been a Boston fan, seriously, this interview would have been over.
And the second question I have for you, Allison, is I know that Alan mentioned the Ring of Honor stuff.
Yes.
I actually have a DVD from 2005, around October, and it was Jay Lethal versus Curry Man. And I think
and
I know.
Dressed as a nun.
Yes.
Yes.
And I want to know the whole 15-minute, what was going through your head, the whole 15-minute segment about everyone dancing.
I was thinking, Chris, I hate you so much. I hate you so much right now. Everyone in the world knows I can't dance, you know, but there was no proof on camera before that night. Now there's YouTube that I can't dance. It doesn't matter because I still dance, Chris Remsburg.
I actually highly enjoyed the segment. I was very amused.
Oh, I could have killed Chris. Who wants to see a woman dressed as a nun doing the curry dance? Apparently, it was Chris Daniels, Jay Lethal, and a bunch of Ring of Honor fans.
I like the best, too. That's pretty good.
Sir Akin saying it's 4-2 now. He's sitting he's in Philly right now, so he's got the TV on going, yes, that's the score.
Yeah, so am I, Alan, honestly.
Yeah. All right, thanks for calling in. Really appreciate you stopping by tonight.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Allison.
Yeah. With Ring of Honor... I'm a fan of it in and out, but the one match that comes to my mind that I had to ask you, because I asked Chris this when I interviewed him when he was with TNA Wrestling, was, I believe it was Final Battle 2003 was the event that you guys did stuff with All Japan.
Oh my gosh.
And you're at ringside to see, and we use the word legend a lot on this show, and I sometimes get smacked for it. Keiji Muda, the great Muda, were you just sitting there ringside going, oh, crap, I'm managing this thing. I can't watch.
It was the most surreal moment, I think, ever in wrestling. I want to say it was Wax took the most amazing picture. I wish I could find it. I'll have to ask him. What it happened was he got this picture, and, like, we're in the blue and black. And Dan is in front, Chris is in front of me, I'm standing behind, there's this blue light coming through, and you just see this sense of, like, awe and wonder on my face, because when Arashi and Muda come out, and you just, it's so amazing, like, I can't even describe it, it was insanity, but I literally whisper in Chris's ear, I'm like, wow, because, like, first off, how many women have gotten to say that they've gotten that position, especially, you know, women in the U.S., have been that position where they're opposite Muda. And I remember that I had to block him from doing his moonsault. And the crowd was so mad, there were guys in the crowd actually calling me the C-bomb.
Oh, my God.
And that guy who called me the C-bomb ended up becoming a wrestler after that. And he met me at shows later, and he's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, dude, if I were in the crowd and some chick messed up Muda's moonsault, I probably would have said the exact same word. So it's straight. But, I mean, it's one of those moments you can never recapture.
I happen to have a listener question in front of me.
Oh, okay. Lord.
And this comes from one Carl Smart of Victoria, Australia.
Oh, yeah, we know Carl.
And it says, can you pass this along to be asked? We know your brother. Do you hate Steve's face?
Well, apparently, since I look similar to him, like, we do have a very strong family resemblance, I'm going to have to go with no. Because I don't want to hate my face. I just like the fact that he's done enough to it to firmly cement me as the best looking in the family until Colby comes of age. Then Colby's going to take that.
Yeah,
but I can right now say I'm the best looking adult Carino.
Yeah, but you're not flashed up like he is. He sometimes, when I see him, it's like, dude, Dusty Rhodes call. Where's his forehead?
Right. See? It keeps me like happy and relaxed.
Yeah, do you hate Cole Cabana's face as much as Steve does?
No. Cabana's nice. I like Cabana.
I don't.
We differ in opinion.
Really? I have no problem.
Because he was here with us, and 3 minutes into his interview, we asked the first question, and he said, I'm going to talk about that on my podcast, which drops this Thursday. And then the next question was about the podcast this Thursday. And then he wanted to sell buttons and everything, and it became a running joke here on All My World of Wrestling Radio.
Well, you guys can promote the fact I'll have brand new T-shirts at WXU this weekend.
Really?
Hooray!
I will. What? I will have brand new T-shirts.
And I've seen some of your stuff, because I believe you've come down to Florida, I think, for Full Impact Pro a couple of times.
Yes.
And I remember seeing some fans with your shirts, and I was going, those are awesome.
I didn't actually create these ones this time, but the person who created them did a heck of a job, and I'm really excited, because it's completely different than anything I've ever had before. And I'm so excited by the work she's done that I've already, in my mind, have created the next two T-shirts.
I can draw a really mean stick figure. I could design your next shirt.
Well, like, the one shirt is actually inspired by John Hyperion, who runs Dirty Dirty Sheets. And Dirty
Yeah,
Dirty
I know the name.
Yeah, Hyperion's a great guy. And the other one is actually inspired by the website T-Fury, which Leva Bates, my tag partner in Shimmer, has gotten me into.
Oh, no, Leva.
Leva's a great girl.
Yeah, she's got an awesome gimmick down here in Florida.
She really does. Man, she's at New Kids on the Block right now, that little witch.
She's at the one in Orlando?
No, I think she's in Kentucky. No,
I think they're in Nashville.
Or they might be at Nashville. I don't know. I know she's not in Florida. I thought she was in Kentucky.
Now, we know the boys in the back are a tight-knit group. But
right.
Because there are so few of you, I would imagine that the ladies in the back are an even tighter-knit group at times.
To be honest, yeah, like, you know, people really expect there to constantly be drama and to make it like a Jerry Springer show backstage. Really, it's not that bad. I mean, for the most part, I like most of the girls I run into. There's, you know, a few that I just kind of giggle at because they've got crazy case of the sillies. And, you know, there's a few that I sincerely dislike, but I don't bother with them. I don't fuss with them, whatever, you know. They do their thing. I do my thing. But for the most part, like, everyone gets along well. Like, you come to Shimmer, you know, hey, I ran out of the wrist tape. Oh, I got you, girl. Don't worry. There was one Shimmer weekend where my babysitter backed out at the very last second. And I had to bring my daughter with, like, a day and a half notice to the show. And all the girls rallied around me. And they're like, no problem. We got her covered, you know. A bunch of the girls, you know, Sassy Steffi, Mass Negro, stepped up. Mischief was helping out.
I know Sassy Steffi, by the way.
Oh, I love that girl. She's brilliant. She's such a sweetheart.
But,
you know, these girls really stepped up and helped take care of my daughter. I think Daphne might have video footage of her doing Shimmer Views backstage where my daughter actually steals the mic from Daphne and starts interviewing Kong. But can't speak coherently, but her and Kong actually have an interview on a camera.
That's awesome.
Yeah. My daughter was only maybe 18 months old at the time, and she's like, Auntie Kong, camera, microphone in her face. Kong would say something about, camera, microphone back in her face. And they went back and forth with it. You know, that stuff really, you know, means a lot to me. So it's cool when the chicks are cool with me, but when they're cool with my daughter, that, you know, brings it to a whole new level.
I can
next
just
time, and next time you run into Sassy Steph.
Yeah, this will be Saturday.
Ask her about being a ring announcer for a really shitty promotion in Worcester, Ohio.
I think she might have actually told me about that.
Oh, my God. Because, it was god-awful.
Because when she comes to Vegas, she stays with me. So.
We're all road-tripping and staying either with you or Kenny King. We're like, it's like, Cauliflower Alley, we're coming next year. You need a hotel room? Nah, we're going to spend some time with Kenny and Alice and Dangerous joining. We'll be fine.
What's funny is people always ask me about Cauliflower Alley. I was there. I wasn't at the convention. I was at the pool the whole time. People have no idea. I was at Gold Coast for like three straight days. I had dinner there. I had lunch there. I was hanging out at the pool. Nobody noticed that I was there. I was like, I'm the invisible worker. This is actually not bad.
Did you get people that stopped by the pool occasionally? Can you sign this? Yeah, sure.
No, the best part was I'm in the pool with Leva and Sassy Steffi, and Leva had to leave, so it was just me and Steffi after a moment, and some guy comes up and he looks at Steffi, he's like, hey, are you a wrestler? And she's like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Guy looks at me and goes, nods his head, goes right back to Steffi. Didn't even ask, didn't even recognize me, and I was like, this is actually the funniest thing. Yeah, nobody had any clue who I was at Cauliflower Alley.
We were, I used to wrestle for that really crappy, my wife had to come in and ask me a question. I used to wrestle for that really crappy promotion in Worcester. And, Steffi was the ring announcer. And I remember, I was wrestling, I was opening the show, me and the guy I was tagging with at the time, where they were splitting us up, and so we were feuding. And he's actually one of my best friends. And so it made it, you know, a lot easier to work together. Mm-hmm. And she's going out to introduce him first. And this guy, and I don't know if you've ever, you know, traveled through Ohio.
A little bit.
In Worcester, especially, it's like they took a little piece of West Virginia and moved it north.
Oh, wow.
That's a vision.
Yeah, I mean, time sets back about 30 years when you go into Wayne County.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, he's probably close to Mabel's size, you know, Viscera. He's that big.
Mm-hmm.
No teeth, nacho cheese all over the front of his shirt. And he's yelling into the ring. And he goes, hey, 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 Steffi, let me take you to dinner. And he's just being this obnoxious, loud as hell asshole. And she looks right at him. And he says, let me take you to dinner again. And she goes, you might eat me for dinner. And keeps, oh, and then picks up the microphone and goes, and I had to wait like 2-3 minutes because I was dying in the back. Like, just dying. She's an absolute sweetheart. I hope she has nothing but success.
Yeah, she's just a great, honest person. I've just adored her since the day I met her. Because I met her, I was actually working a show in Ohio, and she was nice enough to grab me at the airport. Did she grab me? Did Delray and I fly in together, I think? No,
where
no, no.
At?
We ended up meeting it. We worked for, I want to say it was Ohio Championship Wrestling, OCW.
Down in Rittman.
Jeff?
Yeah, down in Rittman.
Yeah. Yeah, real nice group. I had a great time there. They should bring me back. But yeah, she picked me up, took me out to Bob Evans, and it was great. Had a good old time.
She's an absolute sweetheart. I was going somewhere with the tight-knit thing, and I wanted to ask this. You know, the guys, we play ribs all the time, and some are funny, and some are absolutely just horrendously mean.
Mm.
What is the best rib that you have ever pulled, seen pulled, or had pulled on you?
The Road Dog B.G. James holds the title right now of best rib. And his involved urine.
Yikes.
Yeah, it involved urine, British Bulldog, and Lex Luger.
To give a quick synopsis, apparently B.G. James is severely allergic to the muscle red stuff that a lot of the more muscly guys will use to puff up the muscles. And there was a edict put out by WWE. Well, Luger and Bulldog ignored it and kept using it. So while they were out wrestling at one point, B.G. James took their bottle of it, dumped half of it out, and peed in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't do anything with urine. I once did something with Becky Bayless, Cindy Rogers, and Amber O'Neill that involved maple syrup. But all my ribs are super clean, you know, because I'm out to make people laugh. I'm not out to hurt people or you know, really upset them or, you know, crush feelings. But, I mean, Steve always used to get the old one where we'd be on the road and I'd be like, Steve, I got to pee. All right. And he'll go to pull off and they'll be like, nah, let's keep going. And he would, like, force me to hold my pee for 4 extra hours.
Oh, my Lord. He's
stuff like that.
The first time he visited us, and he holds also the record for the longest interview of over 90 minutes, and he could have kept going because he was having so much fun. He brought up a trip to, was it Roppongi's Bug? I can't remember. It was somewhere in Japan. May have been the Roppongi district of Japan.
Okay.
Going out with C.W. Anderson and a few other folks and having a good time and going into a
bondage bar. It was a bondage bar that C.W. Anderson knew, and C.W. Anderson proceeded to get whipped by a Japanese dominatrix who bore a striking resemblance to Samoa Joe in heels.
Wow. That's pretty scary.
We wanted photo proof of this just to go, you're ribbing us. And he's like, no. And I was like, yes. And I was like, so that up until BG James, that was the reigning story of just like, holy cow. Now I brought, Steve has been on twice. The first time around, Mom called in.
Right.
Mom mentioned that she had, Spug asked, no, he said, Spug told the story of his parents having some funny photos of him growing up dressed like Hulk Hogan. And and Mom goes into the story of having pictures of Steve and someone else dressed up as the Rock and Roll Express and eventually showing the photo to Ricky Morton. Are there pictures of you maybe dressed up as Wendy Richter or Lundra Blaze or Bull Nakano somewhere? Or did you manage to duck the camera?
No, all my ridiculous outfits were already seen at Ring of Honor. Like the Girl Scout outfit and the nun outfit. Yeah, everything ridiculous I've ever worn was at Ring of Honor.
And got paid by Rob and Gabe and Doug and everybody to wear them.
Hey. The crazy outfit. Well, yeah, because like when Rob and Doug were there, it was when I was doing Christopher Street Connection. And then when I was with the Prophecy, it was Gabe and Carrie. Yeah. Gabe thought my outfits were hilarious. I'd be like, I'd see him online, I'd be like, Gabe, you'd never believe what I got this time. And I'd be texting Dennis, can I wear a green Girl Scout cookie up? And he'd be like, sure, why not? I got green gear. I'm like, all right. Everything I did, I tried to make sure it at least color coordinated to what Daniel said. You know, that's the part of being a team. You got to look the part. You know,
with him being in TNA right now, has there ever been? I know Steve's hatred of Vince Russo and everything Vince Russo. With a lot of the folks that you've worked with in either Shimmer or other promotions, like Velvet Sky's there, Angelina Love's there, ODB's there. Has there ever been an inkling or an itch for you to want to say, "Oh, hey, Terry Taylor, Allison Danger, I'd like to come in and work for you guys for a little bit"?
We've actually talked several times. There was a couple different occasions where it looked like I would end up going in there, and then neither time worked out. The one time was I actually got the call right after I broke my collarbone in 2008. They were like, oh, we got something. I'm like, yeah, I got something. My collarbone's in two pieces. So there was a time back when they were really hiring, like, indie girls that were wrestling, that it really looked like I would end up going to the company. And after I had my daughter and stuff like that, you know, the tide was turning and TNA was less about, you know, female workers and more about female models and girls that looked a certain way, which I don't look that way, you know, and I make no bones about it. That's not the path that I want to take in wrestling. And so I don't know. I've always said that if I went to one of the two companies, I would take TNA over WWE anytime, mostly just based on the schedule. Being a mom now, that I could not go at the pace the WWE performers go at and still be a good mom to my daughter. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. We're both parents. I have a 9-year-old, 2-year-old, and Spug has a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
And
TNA taping schedule would be perfect.
Please allow me to say this. I don't think you have anything to worry about looking like a model, because I just Googled, you know, Google imaged you, and honey, you're gorgeous. You don't have anything to worry about.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that, but I don't worry about that, because my whole thing and what I'm trying to do with my gimmick and what, like, I'm starting to allude to on Twitter and my blog is the direction that I want to grab women's wrestling and send it into. Because there's so much focus on how the girls look and not how the girls are performing, that I think, and this is not in every instance, this is a generalization, some girls are starting to get lazy and relying simply on their looks. And there's that core group of us out there that truly believe in wrestling. We believe in it as a sport. We believe in it as a business. And we never want that passion to take a back seat to, you know, our looks and whatnot. And I really think that it's time the fans saw something different. They need variety. And I think the powers that be in the bigger companies and the offices need to see that fans don't want one cookie-cutter looking female in the ring. They like variety.
Going on that vein, does it bother you personally that someone like Tammy Sitch, also known as Sunny from the WWE, makes it into their Hall of Fame while the WWE continues to ignore women like Alundra Blaze and Miss Elizabeth and so on? And now Miss Elizabeth may not have been a wrestler, but she certainly did open a door as a female manager / valet. And the same with Precious from WCW / the NWA.
I want to see Sapphire in the Hall of Fame. That's
Sapphire.
My next Twitter. Sapphire needs to be there. She was awesome.
Does that bother you that someone like Tammy Sitch is in there, and yet they continue to ignore some extremely influential women from wrestling and the managerial aspect of it?
I know when they first announced Tammy was going in, like, so many panties got bunched. But there was a time where she really was the real deal going on. Now, you know, when I first became aware of what wrestling was, Miss Elizabeth was it for me. She was that one female that I really, you know, bonded to as a small child being forced to watch wrestling with my brother. I don't know why she hasn't been in there. I like to tell myself that it's a matter of time. I don't know if they're just not in a rush because she's already passed on, so it's like, you know, it's not like we can get her to the Hall of Fame itself, you know, get her to the events and stuff like that. I have no problem with Sunny being in there because of, at the time, she really added something to wrestling. Whether people like her or dislike her, you can't deny she made an impact in wrestling at the time she was in there. Same with Elizabeth. At the time that she was in wrestling, she truly made an impact. Trish Stratus, when she was in, she made an impact. To me, I like to think it's a matter of time. Now, the Alundra Blaze stuff, I don't know, didn't she throw one of their belts in the trash can?
Yeah, it's on the best. It's not on the very best of WCW 9. I was surprised that little incident wasn't there.
It's on a Botchamania, though. I know that.
Yeah, I think it's on their Monday Night Wars DVD. You talked about being a trailblazer and whatnot. In my circle of friends that are involved in the business, like Leva, and others like Pandora or Miss Rachel, as she's sometimes known on the indies, you're a trailblazer because around the same time or a little after WSU started, you and Dave Prezak got together and created what many people know as Shimmer.
Was WSU there before Shimmer? I thought they came after us.
They came around the same time, because they were.
We came in November 2005.
Yeah, I think they were around, but they weren't running actual shows. I think they were involved in another, a male version of WSU, which I can't remember the initials. But take fans back. I don't know if this has been talked about in other interviews with you, and I apologize if I'm rehashing. But looking back to that, give the genesis of the Shimmer product, because when you look at the roster of folks that have been, I mean, Shimmer Volume 1 taping, you take on current WWE superstar Beth Phoenix.
Hell
no
yeah,
many people are going to ever see that match.
No. Love that match. Man, that match was so much fun. That match was so easy to talk over. Beth and I were literally in the back, and we look at the lineup, which I, of course, I'd already known in advance, and we're like, so we've got Mischief and Melissa going on before us. Melissa and Mischief was one of those matches where Dave and I go, I don't know, you know, is this going to work? They're so different. Ah, let's throw it against the wall, see if it sticks. And, you know, it more than stuck. It was a huge eye-opener to people coming into Shimmer for the first time. But we're stuck between that match and Del Rey versus Martinez.
Oh, wow.
Already walking in, we knew that match was going to be phenomenal. Like, there was no doubt about it. So I just looked at Beth, and I go, Gaga? And she's like, oh, God, yeah, Gaga. I'm like, all right, see you out there. And we just knew that we had to be something different. And we're like, nobody else is doing some comedy. Let's just go out there and have some fun. We're a palate cleanser between Melischief, as I like to call them, and Del Rey and Martinez. I've actually called them that during a match before. That was terrible. I'm like trying to yell something to Melissa, and I was like, Melischief, come here! And she looks at me, and I'm like, ah, I know I screwed that up. But Dave had Shimmer in the back of his head long before, you know, back in the early days of the IWA Mid-South when they were really starting to put together a women's division, and, you know, Volcano Girls happened and all that stuff. Dave knew. He was like, I got to strike out on my own, because if he ever wanted the product to be purely the way he saw it, he knew he had to do it by himself. It was never going to happen under Ian's eye, and, you know, I don't think it was something Ring of Honor had any interest in. You know, they like doing the occasional girls match, whatever, you know. I never complain about the support I've ever gotten from Ring of Honor, but they weren't looking to do a full women's group, so Dave really took it upon himself, and he was like, I just need help with this. Can you be my right hand? I'm like, of course, you know, I'll always be your right hand, you know, for wrestling. And that's just where it started, and it was just ideas and back and forth, a lot of text messages, a lot of emails, kind of like how it still is. Oh, my goodness, somebody's streaking through my house. Hi, cuteness.
Uh-oh.
Can you say hi to everybody? Nope. Okay. She's running around. She was playing dress-up a few moments ago.
That's our daughters. That's my daughter and Spug's daughter every time. They may run in. They may not.
Yeah, my daughter always busts up into my podcast. Oh, come here and say it in the microphone.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Okay, go back with Daddy. I love you.
Thanks for chiming in.
Oh, she always has to get at least something in on the podcast.
Which is available at divadirt.com, our friends.
And she's funny. She likes streaking. The other day, she comes running through, and she's out of the bath. She's got no clothes on. And she goes, woo, I'm naked. And I was like, yes, you are.
Have you experienced the running outdoors naked yet?
What's that?
I said, as a parent, have you experienced the running outdoors naked yet?
No, because of the way our door locks, I haven't done that, but we have a chair that sits in front of the patio window that leads out to our porch, and a lot of people, you know, were on the parking lot side of our building, and the other day she stood up on that chair in the window while people were on the opposite side of our porch, and she was completely naked. And they turned around, they're like, all right, there's a naked two-year-old flashing all her bits and pieces to us. How you doing, kids? She's
had
her pen, so she's going to be doing this for a long time to come.
I have a six-year-old.
Right.
And I would say when she was four, my wife and I were outside, and I was working on my truck, and my wife came outside to ask me, you know, some stupid ancillary question about dinner. And next thing I know, there is a wet, naked four-year-old running through my front yard. Just happy as could be. Just got out of the bath, happy as could be, middle of the summer, just running through our front yard, butt naked. And our neighbors are just kind of looking over at us, and I just got to shrug your shoulders at that point and go, kids, and walk away.
Yeah, like, I mean, what can you do? Like, I mean, they're young, and people in America are so uptight about that stuff, and I'm so glad that, you know, we're really trying to develop our family into a pretty European family, and we're real relaxed about stuff like that, you know. She knows the proper name for all the bits and pieces on guys and girls, and you know, we just don't get all uptight about that stuff. So
does she want to follow Colby and you and Daddy and Steve into wrestling? Does she ever get in the ring and bump around at Shimmer?
Oh, yeah, she can take butt bumps, front bumps, back bumps. She's taken a few suplexes at the house.
I'm just trying to...
A couple body slams. She has fun. She doesn't like seeing me... Like, if I go over anything or if I'm talking to somebody, she doesn't like seeing that. One of the first matches she ever saw of me, she slept through. But she did the same thing to her dad, so it was okay. And she was only, like, 5 or 6 months old, so I let her slide that time.
I have the new tag team.
Uh-oh.
Because my daughter can flare bump really well. I mean,
nice.
Really well. She knows the vertical suplex and the atomic drop and the leg drop.
Wow.
I will put her on my shoulders and she will jump off and frog splash onto my bed.
Oh my goodness.
I've taught her to hurricanrana, and now it needs a lot of help because it requires my fat ass to be able to jump and somersault.
Oh my
so,
Lord.
You know.
And hopefully not kill your entire household.
Oh no, she's good. And, but, you know, I'm thinking Madison and little Karina-san, we got a tag team.
Oh, mine's brutal, yeah. But there's one time, what was it? She headbutted me and put my top teeth through my bottom lip.
Oh.
Actually busted it. I had blood everywhere, and she didn't mean to. She just got that hard Carino head, and, yeah, she's a little rough. If she goes into wrestling, cool. I don't want to push her in any particular way. Like, she takes gymnastics, and I'm already looking into dance stuff, and, you know, I'm going to sign her up for sports. And my husband and I are really big on letting her find her own way. Like, we can point her in different directions and get her a taste of what's out in the world. But when it comes to what she wants, we're going to be supportive of that. So if she goes in the wrestling, cool. If she doesn't go in the wrestling, cool. I don't sweat that stuff.
Now, what is the status of Shimmer these days? Is there a taping coming in the next few weeks, or is it on hiatus again?
Oh no, we're running in October. We actually, when Dave put front row tickets on sale, I think we sold out the entire front row for both days in less than 2 hours.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, I think general admission's going pretty fast. I'm assuming at the rate we've been selling out stuff for October. And this, at the time, we had no names announced. Nothing was announced. And we still sold out in under 2 hours.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So, it's pretty... We have a pretty hardcore group of people that really stick by us. And, you know, I feel very fortunate for the Shimmer fans and whatnot.
Yeah.
Is there anybody, just a quick question, on either TNA, WWE roster that if you're going to go out and you say, this is it, I'm done, who is your final match against?
Wait, I have to pick from WWE or TNA?
No, anybody. No. Shimmer, WSU, you know, whomever.
Right. I've always said my final match would probably be Del Rey. Just because, you know, she's like family to me. So, and I know people are probably like, oh, but we've seen you in Del Rey before. But, I don't know. I've always thought Del Rey. I mean, I have, like, dream opponents that I'll probably never, ever get to wrestle. Like Toyota or Yoshida. I've never had a singles match with Natty. I had that tag match with her, though. That was tons of fun. You know, a single match with Natty would be nice. But I think for the sentimental value, I would want Sarah to be my last match. She would not want me to be her last match, but I would want her to be mine. I love her more than she loves me. It works for us. You know, in a relationship, one partner should always love the other one a little bit more. That's me and Sarah.
Yeah, the amazing part is this interview could literally go for hours. However, a naked 2-year-old means that we will wrap. The event, it has a meet and greet from 4 to 6. The actual showtime starts at 7. You need to get to the Ace Arena, which is 725 SIP Street, S-I-P, in Union City, New Jersey. Tickets are $20 in advance, 25 day of the show. If you're going to be like us, which wife permission depending on my end, we'll be watching the iPay-per-view. You need to go to GoFightLive.tv. You can get it for $9.99. Yes, the old price of the weekly, the old weekly TNA pay-per-view price, or $14.99. So we'll let Allison go in a second here, and we'll run that card for everybody, because in addition to Allison, there's some other great matches that I want to mention. So you're attached to Steve's website, right? IHateSteveCarino.com, or is there a specific way we can find just the site of you?
If you go to the AllisonDanger.blogspot.com, you can always find my stuff there. It's a blogspot / website that I've actually just been too lazy / forgetful to actually put a real web address to. And I'm like, I don't know, Allison Danger Blogspot is kind of getting catchy now.
Yeah, our tech producer, Sarakin, might be able to help you out with that. So we maybe can hook you up with that, because he is a whiz with website stuff.
Haha, see? Yeah.
Mark.
Oh, hey, Nikki girl again. Hey, what's up, kiddo?
There she goes.
There she goes. Oh, she's doing the Snoopy dance. She actually does the Snoopy dance. It's so cute. Whenever she does it, you hear the music in her head. Yep. She's doing it. She gets on her toes and the little hands come out and a little swivel with the hip. And she's going, look, I Snoopy dance.
I want other radio shows to top this. Where else?
I got to get video clips of this stuff online. Because seriously, this stuff would go viral in a heartbeat. She's crazier than any fat puppy on a slippery floor.
Is everybody making the trip to Jersey, or are you going solo?
Oh, I'm flying solo this weekend. I'm in and out. I'm in on Saturday, and I'm right out on Sunday. So,
no surprises of you going to Manhattan Center or Hammerstein, stopping by ROH. Okay.
No, but I wish all my pals at ROH the best of luck. I hope they have a great show, but there is no plan for me to swing by. I gotta be at Newark at like 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. So, I'm not attempting that traffic into New York just to turn around and attempt it right back out.
Don't blame you. That's, as I said, we'll run the event in a moment or two. Thank you so much for taking time. We really want to spend more time with you in the near future.
All right. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks a lot.
Anytime you want to come back, open door.
Yep. Alrighty. You can find her through Twitter, which is at Allison Danger, all one word. This event, as I said, we had Alicia on. We were supposed to have Jessica Havoc, her opponent, which is in an uncensored rules match, which is going to be off the chart. They're going to have to live up to an uncensored rules match I got to see a couple years ago, thanks to WSU, and that would be between Awesome Kong and Primetime Amy Lee, which went outside the building and then all over the place. She mentioned Sassy Stephanie. She is the current WSU Spirit Champion. She will be taking on Rain. We tried to have Rain on the program, but yoga got involved, and I wasn't going to do any yoga. We have a first-time-ever matchup. Two ladies that have been guests on our show. You can find them in the archives at owradio.com or wildtalkradio.com. Serena Deeb will take on Nikki Rocks. You're going to get the retirement matches we mentioned, Cindy Rogers. One way or another, this is her last match, and it's Allison Danger's win, lose, or draw. You're going to have the WSU Tag Team Champions, the Boston Shore, which is Amber and Lexus, taking on, I believe it's Jazz and Marty Bell. This match may have changed in the last couple days. You can go to WSUWrestling.com and check it out. There is Kristen Astra taking on Tina San Antonio. Naya is going to take on Barbie. Yes, that's her name. There is also the 8-woman elimination match. Now, let me explain what this is about. The first person eliminated in the match enters the main event Uncensored Rumble match at number one. The person who scored the final pin earns the right to be the last member in the Uncensored Rumble. So on one side of the ring is going to be Allison Kay, Monique, Jennifer Cruz, and the boy diva himself, Rick Cataldo. Opposite side of the ring are the Soul Sisters, Jan and Latasha, Jamila Kraft, which I believe is going to be one of her last U.S. dates. I think she's going to work in Japan, so good luck for her. And, of course, the aforementioned primetime Amy Lee. Now, your main event, this main event has been brewing for a while, and you can go to WSUWrestling.com, you can find everybody on Twitter, you'll see videos of this stuff. The 2011 J-Cup winner, Brittany Savage, is going to take on one of our favorite guests, the reigning defending WSU world champion, Mercedes Martinez. You're going to get all of this, plus the 25-woman Uncensored Rumble. I kind of like going west right now, man, don't I?
Alan, the WSU website is not WSU.com.
It's WSU Wrestling, I believe.
Okay, well, see, you just said WSU.com.
I apologize. WSUWrestling.com.
Okay.
Well, you've got that on Saturday. Then on Sunday, we had Kerry Silken on talking about it. We had Kenny King on talking about it. When he's here this Tuesday, we'll talk to Jay Lethal about it because it'll be his return to Ring of Honor. And I'd rather talk about the other stuff, too. Now, you've got The Best in the World 2011, which is live on iPay-Per-View through also GoFightLive.tv. That is at the Hammerstein Ballroom, Manhattan Center, 311 West 34th Street. Jay Lethal will be taking on the Prodigy, Mike Bennett. You've got, I'm still amazed at this one. I want to see this match. A no-holds-barred street fight. Prince Nana has gone out to take on the notorious 187 Homicide. He has brought in ECW original and former NWA world champion, the man beast, the master of the gore, Rhino. There's a dream tag team match, which unfortunately I believe due to contractual obligations is a dark match DVD exclusive, so it won't be on the pay-per-view. The Buck Brothers, also known as Generation Me, will take on Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly. You've got our, you know, we just talked to Allison, so Jimmy Jacobs now has a financial stake in Steve Corino. He will take on Michael Elgin with Truth Martini in his corner. Truth Martini's got a busy night because he will also be a ringside as El Generico takes on the Fallen Angel, the World TV champ, Christopher Daniels. We talked about this match with Kenny King of the All Night Express. in a four-way elimination match. The All Night Express are going to take on the Briscoe Brothers, the Kings of Wrestling, and the ROH World Tag Team Champions, the world's greatest tag team of Haas and Benjamin. And the main event of that night is the world champ Eddie Edwards taking on Davey Richards. And some guy named Cole Cabana's in action, too. But I digress. I apologize.
I could care less about Cole Cabana.
Yep, Jersey Girl's saying she'll be right back because she wants to come on and talk about something. What do you want to talk about?
No, we're wrapping the show up.
Yeah, she's got... I'm sorry, Jersey. It's 11:30 and nothing we can do about that.
We need to have Sassy step on at some point.
She was one of those folks that I wanted to reach out to, but I went for who I thought was going to be the best guest. Alicia is obviously the best guest that we've had in a while. Love to have her back again.
No, it's like, she's a sweetheart. She really is. And I am acquaintances with her from, days of wrestling for that really, really shitty promotion in Worcester. So, and she's a sweetheart, and I would like to have her on. And of course, Alan falls silent.
No, Alan's not silent. Alan's. I thought you were still going to talk about it some more. We really wanted to have Jessica Havoc here, and she not only felt really bad about her dad's health issue, but...
She feel even worse about this? I hope so.
She said that she was leaving work, and she was the only vet tech, whatever you want to call it, on duty. And Tuesday, Thursdays, their clinic stays open a little later. And in came this...
Massive.
Yeah, a bull mastiff who had a knot in its stomach, and the surgery was going to take a minimum of 2 hours. So I said, as the pet owner, take care of the bull mastiff. So we apologize again. But next Tuesday, no matter what, you thought he talked on other shows, and you said, yeah. He broke his silence on those shows. He didn't say jack crap. I listened. And if that's what I sound like, wow, I definitely need to go back to broadcasting school. And I don't know. Jay Lethal, 9 o'clock next Tuesday night. We're in talks. It will be in July. We don't have a set date yet. But the makers of a amazing documentary that I believe had a theatrical release, and it's going to be released to DVD July 12th, that is called Card Subject to Change. We will have the producer, James Subius, their director, whose name is slipping from my head, and Championship Wrestling from Florida legend. He's an NWA legend.
He's a legend, period.
That's right. Kevin Sullivan will be back with us in July. And I can't believe I'm about to say this. I haven't even finished June yet. BG James wants to come back on in August when he works for the promotion in Nashville that had the Farewell of the Fairgrounds. He said, Lakeisha Oliver Burdine said, I had so much damn fun with those guys. When's our next show? They said August 7th. He's like, I want to go on that Tuesday.
I like having him on. I'm glad he came on. I'm glad he's coming back. It's nice to hear when guests go, I want to go back to them. I like them. You know? Yeah.
It's amazing to have that effect as opposed to going to somebody going, don't ever put me on that show again.
Oh, I'm sure Colt Cabana said that. I'm sure Colt Cabana said that, but you know, like Carino-san, you know, he'll come back whenever he wants. That's just Carino. But I hope his sister comes back. I really do.
She's like her bro. I could sit there and talk to her for hours. And just, you know, like, suck in the knowledge.
Oh, yeah. She's... That's one of the main reasons why when they pitched me, WSU pitched me and said, well, who would you like? Well, you know, we can get to Brittany Savage. And I said, no offense to Brittany, but she hasn't been in the business long enough that I would want to talk to her. And I've interviewed Allison before for internet sites, and immediately I was like, hey, don't know if you remember me, this, that. She's like, oh, God, yes, I love talking with you. Like, oh, I'm coming on. I was like, yes. So that was awesome to have her here. I want to thank our new friends at WRWWrestling.net,
because
they're going to stream this on Friday night, and hopefully the fans over there listen to it and enjoy it, since the OWW Genesis folks can kiss my ass.
And if they listen to it, please send us feedback, radio@onlineworldwrestling.com. Or check us out on Facebook, Online World of Wrestling-OWW Radio. Like us there and interact with us and keep up to date on everything on OWW Radio.
Yeah. I'm not alone on this network. Spug's involved in an event that is known as Utaku Talk Live. Mace is not making it, obviously. The government's got him under lock and key.
No, he's not coming tomorrow. But Omega will be here.
Yes. Saturday, we may be watching WSU. We may not. We're not 100% sure.
There is a fight this weekend, though. There is a UFC event. It's one of their UFC live fights on Spike TV. It's Nate Marquardt versus Rick the Horror Story.
And this is where I say log on to Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork or Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio to find out when we're on the air.
All right. It's the most played Springsteen song ever. I guarantee if you ask everyone in the band what's the one song you don't ever want to play again, it may be this one. It's Born to Run. Thanks for stopping by Online World of Wrestling Radio. We'll see you next week. Jay Lethal in the house. WildTalkRadio.com.